Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode one, season two of the Emotional Autoimmunity Podcast, having real life conversations about the emotional issues that come about when you are living with chronic illness. So this season, we're doing something a little bit different as opposed to doing interviews as I did last year in season one. This time, it's just going to be me. Right, so what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be talking about the biggest emotional issues that you tell me are important to you and the things that cause you the most pain and frustration and stress. So I'm just going to wing this a little bit. I'm just going to talk off the top of my head and talk about my experiences and the experiences of working with clients online all around the world and the different commonalities and the different issues that we all share when you live with a chronic illness, because there are so many things that we do have in common that people without chronic illness don't really understand, which makes it so difficult for us to adapt to and deal with. So one of the biggest issues that almost everybody that I speak with who lives with chronic illness has is feeling guilt. And a lot of us are consumed by guilt. And guilt can become very toxic because you can get so lost in the guilt that you feel like you are a burden. And when you feel like you're a burden, you can't see any way or anything positive or anything in general that you actually contribute to anybody that you love or to anybody in your life. And what happens when you fall into that guilt trap is that you spiral down into depression and anxiety and stress. And you can become profoundly depressed when you get stuck in the guilt trap. And what happens when you become depressed and you feel guilty is that you start to withdraw from everyone and everything. And you just lose interest and you just feel negative about everything. And so you start shutting down and you start shutting off and you start losing the connection that you have with the people that you love. And then you realize that's happening, and then that in turn creates even more guilt. So it can become a bit of a vicious cycle. And the interesting thing about this whole process is most people feel guilty because they feel like they're hurting the people in their lives. But by process of them feeling guilty, they actually are hurting the people in their lives and actually making things worse. So it's a little bit of a paradox. So let me step you through exactly how this happens and how it all works and why it works the way that it does, because it's really important that if you're stuck in toxic guilt, that you have got to make it your mission to get out of the guilt, because if you don't, I promise you, things will continue to get worse. And this actually is something that you can change and you can turn it around. So let's talk about guilt in general. Like, why do we even have guilt? What is the purpose of guilt in our lives with all of the emotions that we have? What is guilt for? So guilt, like every other emotional signal that we have, is actually something that is designed to warn us and protect us. So guilt is a signal that is telling us that we are out of alignment with who we are, right? So we're out of alignment with our moral code. We're out of alignment with our belief system. We've done something that we don't feel good about. And that's the whole purpose of guilt. It's just a warning light. It's a signal, right, to say, hey, pay attention to this. The same as feeling anxiety or fear is a signal that says, hey, pay attention to this. You know, there's potential danger here. There's something you need to be looking at, right? So it is an emotional warning signal that we are out of alignment with our beliefs, with our values, and with who we really are. And in that case, what you normally do, if you're using guilt appropriately, is you recognize that signal and you look at what it is that you're feeling guilty about and try to determine, is that something that's actually worth your guilt? Like, is the guilt in this situation appropriate? And if the guilt in that situation is appropriate, and if you've done something out of alignment with yourself, well, you can get back on track, right, and start doing things differently, start doing things in a way that feels good to you so that you can feel good about yourself. Or if you feel that your actions or your words or your behaviors have harmed somebody or caused them pain and you feel guilt because of that, then the appropriate response, of course, is that you try to make amends for that. So you can only own it and apologize and give a real sincere apology. So really own it 100% and say it was all on me and it was completely my fault and it was the wrong thing to do and I'm sincerely sorry and I would love to make it up to you and I will promise you that I will never do that again. You know, that's a sincere apology as opposed to an insincere apology, which is, oh, I'm sorry you feel that way, because then that's not an apology, right? That's just a deflection and it's not taking responsibility for your own actions and your own words and the consequences of the choices that you made. So that's how guilt normally works, and that's the purpose of guilt, and that's why we have it, right? Now, what happens when you become chronically ill is a whole lot of things get triggered, right? So the first trigger is that you've been told you've got something that's going to affect the rest of your life. You're generally told that there's very little that you can do about the disease. You're generally told that there is no cure. You're generally told that there are some drugs or pharmaceuticals that can maybe help to alleviate or maybe help to stop or slow down the progression. But apart from that, you know, that's pretty much it. You've got to adapt and you've got to go on, find a way to go on. And so it is life-changing. It is one of those life-changing, life-altering events that happens. And because it's only happening to you and because other people aren't experiencing it and because in most cases you look pretty much normal, it's quite difficult for people to believe that it has the impact on you that you say that it does. Because in most cases, like in my case with Hashimoto's celiac disease and antiphospholipid syndrome, then I am living with three invisible diseases, so you can't actually see them. You can see clearly when I'm not feeling that well only because I look tired and I might not look as bright or, you know, sparkly as I would like to look. But apart from that, you can't see the impact that those diseases are having on my body and on the organs in my body and all of the other ways that it affects me. And it would be the same for you if you're living with chronic autoimmune conditions. And most people, for a short term, can be sympathetic and try to understand and try and be supportive. But as time goes on, and generally if you charted this, right, if you charted your first 6 months, concern would be high. And then the following 6 months, it would start to lower. And then the following year, it would lower even more until you get about 5 years in and everybody just kind of takes things for granted and you're not getting that support. That's normally how things work, right? We, unless it's top of mind, unless it's something visible, we don't really see what's going on. So because chronic illness has such an emotional impact on us, like a huge, as I said, life-changing emotional impact, and nothing can prepare you, like nothing in your life so far could have prepared you for chronic illness, then because it's hard for people to see and because it's, you know, there's no cure and because there feels like it's so overwhelming and it feels like there's nothing you can really do, then you start to feel guilty, right? Because things have changed so much. So before you might have been working and, you know, working full time and bringing in the money to help contribute to your family, or, you know, going out and spending your time helping other people and being there to support your friends and being able to support your partner or your children. Also, you know, you felt like you were fully present. You felt like you had a lot of energy to do that. And, you know, you were living your normal life, and then suddenly everything's changed. And with everything changing, in many cases, you can't do the things that you used to do before because you're not physically capable of doing that. And because as a society, we value productivity and we value doing over being, well, then you can feel like people perceive you as lazy or that you're making it all up. And you can even be accused of making things up. And so you start to feel guilty. And you start to feel guilty because you can't do the things that you did before. And you start to feel guilty because you feel like you're letting people down. And you start to feel guilty because you feel like you've become a burden. And then the guilt sets in. You become depressed. Everything feels negative. It's like you put on a very dark pair of glasses and everything is dark and everything is negative and, you know, everything becomes absolute, so I can't do anything and I'm not the person that I wasn't before and I can't contribute anything and why would anybody even love me like this and I can't do anything for anybody, and it just becomes really dark and really negative, and that causes a lot of stress. And what we do know about inflammation and chronic autoimmune diseases is that inflammation, right, it gets raised by stress. It's very well known in the research literature. You can easily go and do a Google search now and you look at, you know, stress and inflammation and stress and diseases, and you'll see that in every case, stress exacerbates the symptoms of any illness because stress creates more inflammation creates more symptoms creates more pain, creates more issues with how the brain works. So fog, you know, brain fog comes in, not thinking clearly, it depresses all of the emotions, it flattens everything out, and it just becomes a little bit of a vicious cycle. So let's just go through one by one and break down some of the top things that people have told me that they feel guilty about. So the first one is, I feel guilty because I feel like I'm letting everybody else down. Okay, so is it your responsibility to make everybody happy? Now, I hope, as you're listening to that, I hope that you're saying no, because it is not your responsibility to make everybody happy. In fact, the only person you can make happy is yourself. That's it. If you are going around trying to make everybody else happy, then you have an issue called people pleasing. And people pleasing means that you put everybody else's needs in front of your own. And as you know, several clients have said to me, I could tell you what everybody else needs and what is important to everybody else in my life and exactly what they want and how they feel, because they are spending all their time focused on trying to make other people happy and trying to manage their emotions, which means they come last on their priority list, and that is stressful and it's also very exhausting. So guilt in this case, as in all the others, is a useless emotion, right? Because the reality is, with this chronic illness, you can only do what you can do. And that is literally all you can do. You can't do any more. Now, you can try and do more, but that's going to exhaust you, right? It's going to absolutely exhaust you, and it's going to make everything worse. So you have to give other people the opportunity to adapt, exactly the same way that you would if the chronic illness had happened to them. You would understand if chronic illness happened to your partner or one of your children, that things have to change, the same way as if that person had a spinal injury and they were now in a wheelchair, right? you would have to adapt the environment, you would have to adapt to the limitations that that person was living with. So if you had to do practical things like install, hand bars in the shower, or get a shower chair, get a ramp instead of steps, have lots of spaces, between furniture so they can move their wheelchair, you would recognize that things need to change, right? You would recognize that because you're seeing it happen to somebody you love. So you've got to reverse the situation. You've got to accept the fact that things have changed. You now have new limitations that you didn't have before, and everybody around you has to adapt, the same as you would have to adapt if it was happening to them. So guilt is useless. You are not letting anybody down because this is not your fault. You didn't do anything to create the chronic illness. It is not something that you deserve, and you did not make it happen. It is a cosmic car accident. That's all it is. It is not your fault. Why would you want to feel guilty about something that is not your fault? Guilt is reserved for something we feel we've done wrong. You haven't done anything wrong. You've just contracted a chronic illness, and that's the way that it is. So the next one is, I feel guilty because of the pain I'm causing my partner. Well, you can't make anybody feel anything, right? You literally can't make somebody feel anything. And how they're reacting to your illness is their business, right? They're entitled to their feelings. They're entitled to their grief. And it's not just you that's lost your future. When chronic illness happens to someone, it happens to everybody in the family, and every partnership and every family has dreams of the things they're going to do one day, the things that they're going to do together, and the activities they're going to enjoy, or the trips that they're going to make, or the future that they've planned. Everybody has those dreams, and when you're a couple, you have those dreams of what you're going to do together. And so aren't they entitled to grieve that? Aren't they allowed to grieve that? Aren't they allowed to have time to adapt? Aren't they allowed to feel bad about what's happened to you, because you would feel the same to see that happen to them? So it's not something you're making them feel. It's a very real and valid response to somebody that you love who has gone through a life-changing event where things feel like they're never going to be the same again. So you're not causing them pain, right? You are not causing them pain. They're allowed their legitimate experiences of that. And it's something you can talk about together. In fact, it can be something that can actually bond you closer, because you both lost things that are important to you as a couple and a family, right? So let's, think about that logically. If that happened to your partner, you would, of course, feel bad. You would grieve. You would feel frustrated. You would feel cheated. You would feel angry. You would be saying, why? Why has this happened to us? We had all of these things planned, all of these things we were going to do. Wouldn't you feel that way? Like, it's normal. You don't have to feel guilty about that. It's a normal part of the process. And if you talk about that openly and honestly, then it could be a fantastic opportunity for the two of you to bond closer together. Remember, this is not your fault. You did not do it deliberately. You did not cause it. You did not create it. It is just something random that's happened to you. It is not your fault. So the next one is, I feel guilty because I feel like a burden. So unless your partner is telling you are a burden, then you are not a burden. And if your partner is telling you you're a burden, you've got much bigger problems than guilt. Now, there is an adaptation process that has to be gone through that does involve all of the emotions I talked about before. Nobody likes to be put out. Nobody likes to have their life changed. Nobody likes to be inconvenienced. Nobody likes to see somebody that they love going through this sort of situation. But in general terms, as I said, unless your partner is telling you clearly and explicitly, using exactly that language. So this is not about you look at them and you believe that you know that they are thinking you are a burden. Like, that's the story you're telling yourself, right? Unless somebody's saying it, it's not true. Unless somebody's telling you something, it doesn't actually exist, right? And unless they're showing you in their actions very clearly. But unless your partner is explicitly saying to you, you are a burden and I resent you and I don't want to be with you because you've got chronic illness. And as I said, in which case, you got much bigger problems than guilt. And if you look back realistically, you probably realize that all of those issues, all of those signs have been there from the very beginning. And chronic illness has highlighted the cracks in your relationship as it does, right? When you get chronic illness, you will find yourself reevaluating every single relationship in your life and seeing whether these people are actually do love you and care about you and are willing to help you and support you, or whether they've been taking advantage of your good nature, or whether you've been the people pleaser and they're very used to you doing for them all of the time and putting yourself last and dropping everything to be with them. So it's going to really give you the opportunity to evaluate and look at all of the relationships in your life. But in most cases, in the majority of cases, nobody is telling you that you are a burden. It's usually something that you start believing yourself because you're believing all of those other things. I'm useless, I'm creating pain, emotional pain for my family, I'm letting everybody down, all of those other things are going on as well. This is just part of the process of you not really accepting, right, not starting to work through that this is not your fault and you didn't create this. And being able to accept the chronic illness and get to the point where you say, okay, this has happened to me. I don't know why it's happened to me. I'll probably never know why it's happened to me. But now that it's happened to me, it is my responsibility to try to make my life with my partner, with my family, as good as it possibly can be. And that is something positive and powerful you can do for yourself and for your family, right? That is the only positive and powerful thing that you can do for yourself and your family, because guilt is not helping you, right? So the next one is, I feel guilty because I can't contribute financially. And this can be a difficult one, right? But again, we've got to go back to, this is not your fault. Right? Nobody is guaranteed health. We have this weird belief that, you know, we can actually guarantee somebody the fact that we'll never become disabled or chronically ill or bedridden or get into an accident and be mangled. Like, nobody can guarantee anybody health, right? It can happen to anybody at any time. Autoimmune disease is one of the fastest growing things at the rate that it's going in the world today. More and more people, hundreds of thousands of people around the world, are being diagnosed all the time. There are new autoimmune conditions being found. It is almost epidemic proportions. And why we're not talking about that in the media just astonishes me, right? This is happening to millions of people around the world. Nobody can guarantee anybody health. Nobody can guarantee anyone that they will be able to continue to work and financially contribute for the rest of their lives. All right, there's a lot of chance in this. So again, it is not your fault. Now, because you can't financially contribute now, doesn't mean that in the future, after you've, you know, worked on your health and you've made some interventions and you've got your mindset right and you've dealt with all your emotional stuff and you've dialed in your diet and you found what works for you and, you know, you've made your own way and found out what works for you with your chronic illness, nobody is to say that you're not going to be able to financially contribute in the future. Now, 5 years ago, I didn't know if I'd ever work again, and I was the sole breadwinner, right? I'm a single mother. And there was certainly nobody contributing to my income. So I didn't have anything when I became chronically ill. I had my savings. I had to apply for a benefit, which was very humiliating. and go through a lot of hoops and red tapes to do that, and it was basically not even enough to survive on. So between my savings and that benefit that I had to keep requalifying for every 6 months and keep proving that I was actually, you know, too ill to work and apply for a job, and my family, you know, my father helping me out financially, I don't know how I would have survived. Now, I didn't know I was going to work again. In fact, nobody at that time, my doctor, who is a wonderful and blessed with a wonderful doctor that I finally found, she couldn't guarantee me that I would work again, but I am, right? I'm working again and I'm supporting myself again. So the whole thing with that is I can't contribute financially at the moment. So just add those three little words on the end, at the moment. Nobody knows what's going to happen. When you say I can't contribute financially, it's like I can never contribute financially, which is a very depressing thought because nobody knows what you're capable of, even you. I didn't know what I was capable of 5 years ago. Here's another one. I feel guilty because I passed on my illness to my children. Well, if you'd have known that you were going to pass on that illness, and this is a lot of people are in this position, right, where they know there is a particular, you know, genetically inherited illness in their family. It is a very difficult decision because a geneticist cannot tell you with 100% certainty whether your children will inherit your disorder or not. I was just watching something the other night about someone that had Hopkins disease or some other genetic thing which affects the brain, and eventually a person, you know, becomes and gets dementia and they can't walk and they can't talk and they lose communication, and this is genetically inherited, can be. And so that woman, before she knew that she had that disease, had two daughters, and the daughters had 50% chance. So one wanted to know and the other didn't want to know, and so the one that wanted to know did find out that she did have the gene and that she probably would develop that illness in 10 years' time. So, again, nobody can guarantee anybody health. You did not know at the time, probably, that when you had your children, that you had the autoimmune condition that you had. And, again, it's not your fault. And because you had it doesn't mean there is a 100% chance that your children would inherit that disease. So there are children who are born like with thyroid issues from birth where there's no history of it in the family. Again, nobody is guaranteed health. So your guilt is not helping your child because, again, it's not your fault. Like, it's not your fault that you got it. It's not your fault that your child got it. Okay, it's just one of those cosmic car accidents that happened. So your guilt is doing nothing for your child. And do you want your child to grow up seeing your guilt? Is that the lasting legacy that you want to leave for your child? I mean, I'm hitting you hard with some truth bombs here, but is that what you want your child to remember? My mother was crippled with guilt because of this disease that I had, right? She's got to learn, or he's got to learn, the same way as you, how to manage that disease, as everybody does. And over time, the management of the symptoms and the disease will just become part of their life. They will grow up and that will be their normal, right? That will be their normal, because for children who get and develop chronic disease, it's actually easier for them to adapt to it than an elder who's already had 30, 40, 50 years of what they call normal, healthy life. So your guilt is not helping them and your guilt is not helping you. So I really, you know, want to invite you to question why, out of all the emotions you could have, that you're choosing to hold on to that one, because that will be something they remember. Okay. I feel guilty because I can't be there for my friends. Well, you can't be there for your friends in the way that you were before, because life has changed, but you can still be there for your friends in different ways. So yes, will you be able to, you know, get up at midnight and go over to your friend who's heartbroken and sit there and eat ice cream and, you know, drink wine and console with them? No, probably not. but there's going to be other ways that you can support them. And there are lots of little moments and ways that we can show people that we care. You can find time during the day to write a card or send a text or have a quick phone call when you know that your energy is best, right? There are lots of ways that you can show people that you care that have nothing to do with, you know, running over to their doorstep at 1 o'clock in the morning. Can you do the things that you did for people before? No. You can't, but you can find new ways of doing things, right? You can find new ways of being there. And maybe it's your turn to be the one who receives. Maybe you've spent years and years and years giving generously and lovingly to your friends. Now, why not let them return the favor? I know for myself, asking for help was incredibly hard because I've always been this really independent, strong-minded woman who, you know, didn't need anybody. And so I was very good at looking after other people, very good at caring for other people and giving advice. It was my work, it's my life, like it's just what I love to do. But asking for help when I was feeling so sick and so vulnerable, I felt like a mess. But the most beautiful thing to come out of that was that I saw how many people were willing to help me. So maybe now it's your time to ask for help. Maybe now it's your time to be supported. And when you start feeling a little bit better, then, you know, you've started to dial in some of this stuff and you've started to make looking after yourself and adapting to your new life, it becomes part of your routine. Well, then you can think about how can I help my friends and what new and different ways can I show them my appreciation and that I can be there for them. All right, because even though you can't do it the way that you could before, there's still plenty of different ways that you can do it. And the last one is, I feel guilty because all my children will remember is me being sick all the time. Well, that's not true. I've spoken to many adult children of people who have lived with chronic illness or some sort of disability. And that's not what the children remember. You know, a lot of them have said, it gave me an opportunity to learn how to care for people. It gave me an opportunity to become independent and to learn how to cook, to learn how to take on responsibility, to learn how to keep, you know, things tidy, to get some really valuable life skills that I needed. It taught me how to have empathy and patience for other people. And what your children will remember will be things like, you know, as one of my clients said, I remember the times when I would creep into bed with my mother and we would lay there for an hour or so and I would read to her and we would enjoy the stories. And those special moments, that's what they're going to remember. You can still be a fantastic parent from a bed. Now, does being a great parent mean, oh gosh, I've got to be out there and, you know, playing with them actively and watching them at their school sports events and all of that stuff? No. Like, being a good parent is being present. Being a good parent is being interested in what they're doing. Being a good parent is caring about what's important to them, and hugs and kisses and, you know, compliments and encouragement and support. That's what they're going to remember. You know, that's what they're going to remember. Children are very adaptable. It'll be easier in a sense for your children to adapt to your illness than it will be for you. And they're going to take their lead from you, right? So the last things I want to say about guilt before I end up this podcast is that the reason that you're feeling guilt, right, is you feel bad because you feel like you're doing harm to someone that you love. Now, I want you to reverse this situation, because I've seen this happen and I've worked with clients where the shoe's been on the other foot. So your partner becomes chronically ill or disabled and they just feel guilty all the time. And you don't want them to feel guilty at all, because you know this wasn't their fault and you know that was just one of those cosmic car accidents. And all you really want from them is to go through their grief and then reach that place where the two of you together can go on and make your lives as good as you possibly can with whatever this is that has happened. That's what you want. You want them to face it. You want them to own it. And you want them to talk to you about positive ways that you and them can make this work, that the two of you can work together and adapt. That is what you would want. And you would be creative and you would be brainstorming and you would be adapting and you would want your partner to, you know, to find, you know, some way to help themselves, and you would be willing to look at what changes you could make in your diet or your environment and remove toxins and, you know, do meditation or whatever other things that are going to help, because you would want to do practical things to help them. That's what you would want. And to see somebody indulging in something as negative and bitter and defeatist as toxic guilt is incredibly painful to witness. It is frustrating. It is saddening because it is all self-inflicted. That is the hardest thing. It is all self-inflicted because unless somebody is actually telling you that you are a burden, then you are damaging them, then it is all a self-inflicted story in your mind, and everyone in your family is watching you in that self-inflicted state, hoping and praying that you will come out of it and you will face whatever it is you're dealing with and start to own it and start to accept it and start to work with them to come up with ways to make the best life that you possibly can. So if you are stuck in chronic toxic guilt and you can't get out and you are stuck in this belief that you are damaging people and you're stuck in this belief that you are a burden, one, it is the most common thing that people with chronic illness get and deal with and get stuck in, and nearly every single client that I work with in my online therapy programs has this issue, and it's one of the first things we've got to get rid of and dismantle, because until you get rid of it and dismantle it, you can't make positive progress. That's it. We've got to get you out of that guilt. You've got to realize it's not adding any benefit to your life. In fact, it is creating the very thing that you don't want. You don't want to be, you know, impacting people in this negative way. And by you being stuck in this guilt, you are. That's exactly what you're doing. So you're doing exactly what it is that you don't want to do. All right. And if you get stuck in that, then you need some help. So what I want to encourage you to do right now is head over to my website at emotionalautoimmunity.com, book yourself in for your free 25-minute discovery session. Let's talk about this. I'm going to tell you all about which program I recommend for you. I'm going to tell you how much it costs. I'm going to tell you about the payment plans, all of that stuff. It costs you nothing. I don't want an answer from you at the time. I will just give the information. I'll email it to you, and then you have a think about it and make a decision for you. Literally no strings. So I hope this has been useful for you. I hope you realize as a result of listening to this that guilt appropriately used is just a signal. It's just a signal to say you're out of alignment of something that you feel like you've done wrong. I want you to understand that you haven't done anything to create chronic illness. It is not your fault. It's not something you've deliberately created. And there is absolutely no good and valid reason that you should be stuck in this guilt you are experiencing. So if you've got any questions, feel free to contact me through my Facebook page. You can just send me a message over at my Facebook page, or I'm over on Instagram. You can send me a message there. And I'll be back in a couple of weeks talking about another real life conversation about the real life issues of life with chronic illness. So I'll speak to you then. Bye.